I believe I record me. Can everybody hear me? Okay. It's a great privilege to be able to speak to you tonight. We appreciate all those who have spoken to us in the last year and a half. And we're thankful to have the opportunity to preach to you tonight. And I trust that you'll continue to pray for us what time we stand before you this evening. You have your Bibles, like to turn with me to the book of Psalms. I'd like to go to Psalm 22. This is a very special psalm to me because I believe that it gives us insight on something that maybe we wouldn't have otherwise. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus, as a lamb before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth when he was crucified. We don't find him complaining. We find him silently suffering as he endured the cross. But when people are quiet, you often wonder, what are they thinking? What are their thoughts? And I believe this psalm gives us the thoughts of Jesus while he is on the cross at Calvary. And the reason I believe that is because it begins with some words that he spoke on the cross of Calvary. And I believe he spoke those words so that he would point us to this psalm. And it begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's words that he spoke while he was on the cross. And I believe that if we continue reading this psalm, then we'll know his thoughts while he was there on the cross of Calvary. We don't really have time tonight, and it's not really on my mind to get into all that, but I'd like to direct you to a verse, and that's verse 14. Psalm 22, verse 14 says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. So here we have the thoughts of Jesus, and as he's saying these words, certainly we can see that in other places it says they pierced my hands and my feet, and so many things that point us to the suffering of being on a cross. But he says in verse 14, I'm poured out like water. Now we know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus went to the cross, his sweat was as great drops of blood. You know, I love that song we sang tonight, and I haven't sung it in a long time. A story most lovely I'll tell. That tells the story, the gospel story. And I love that song. But when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, it says his sweat was as great drops of blood. That was a lot of sweat that poured out of him. We also find that he prayed with strong crying and tears. So sweat was pouring out of him. Tears were pouring out of him. And when he was there on the cross of Calvary, I believe blood was pouring out of him. He was poured out to the point that Isaiah 53 says he had poured out his soul unto death. He gave everything of himself, you understand, and what he did there on the cross. It says, I'm poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. You know, the suffering of the cruelty of a cross, I'm not sure we can fully fathom, where your own body weight pulling down while you're nailed there, it puts your bones out of joint in that way, a very cruel manner in which to put someone to death. He says, my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. He describes his heart melted like wax. Can you imagine enduring the wrath of God for all of God's people? The fire of God's wrath. You know, like wax is melted in the heat. He says, my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. I know some brethren who have used this text to describe what they thought when Jesus died, that his heart melted. And this is a text they used to prove that. Not sure that's the case or not. But what I'd like to look at this evening is this phrase, all my bones are out of joint. Now, I certainly think that, as we mentioned on Sunday at Union, that there's a sense in which you and I were crucified with Jesus. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I believe we were there by representation. And I believe we were there because we are in Christ. But there's another way that I'd like to point out that I believe that we were there. You know, the Bible says that, and as we think about this phrase, all my bones are out of joint. I want us to stop and consider for a moment as we turn to Ephesians chapter 5 that the church is the body of Christ. He is the head and we are the body. And in Ephesians 5, I want you to notice what he says here in verse 30. He says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. I want us to stop and think tonight that when he says, my bones are out of joint, that although Jesus, as a fulfillment of that Passover lamb, a bone of him was not broken, there is something significant in that statement that applies to you and I. Notice Ephesians 5:30. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, I want to submit for your consideration tonight that when he says, all my bones are out of joint, that is referring to something far deeper than what we see on the surface. If you think about us being members of the body of Christ, and that means we all have a role to play. He's the head and we are the body. And your role is different from mine, just as the hand's role is different from the eyes, different from the foot. Our role is different, but we are all part of the same body of Christ. He is the head and we are the body. We are the members. And in each one of these members, we find something inside of them that we call bones, something hard, something rigid, something structured. And these bones play a very important role in the body. If you turn me to Hebrews chapter 4, I want to notice with you another expression that's quite mysterious unless we're looking at the subject that we're looking at right now. Our bones play a very important role in our body, which I'm going to mention in just a moment. But in Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Now, when it says the word of God is quick, that doesn't mean it can run fast. Does the word run? But the word of God being quick means it's alive, powerful. I believe this is talking about Jesus, the living word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, in this verse, we are reading about some of the Word of God's abilities. And one of his abilities is something that I don't believe that I have, and that is he can discern, divide asunder between the soul and the spirit. I wish I knew the difference, but I can't claim to say I can tell you what's the difference between the soul and the spirit tonight. But look at this expression of the joints and marrow. Now, I don't really know all there is to know about bones. I'm not skilled in that knowledge, and I'm not in the medical profession, but bones inside of them have marrow. I know that much. And I also know what connects a bone to another bone is a joint. That much I do know. But I don't believe that's what's under consideration here. I've heard some say that even the medical community doesn't know the makeup of the marrow and the makeup of joints, what the difference between them is. I don't know whether that's true or not. But I want to submit this for your consideration in this way tonight. That if we are his bones, then there's something inside of us we call marrow, and there's something that connects us that we call joints. And the Lord knows what you need inside of you, and he also knows what you need between you and me and one another. He knows what we need for our relationships to be well. He knows what we need to be healthy on the inside. But there's something else about this that's quite intriguing to me. And that is, if you look at our bodies and the way that we are made, and as the Bible teaches, it tells us that the life is in the blood. If you cut off blood to a member of your body, that body part will die because it doesn't have the life going to it anymore. In fact, blood, it provides the nutrients that we eat. It somehow that's broken up and the blood carries it to the cells of the body, carries it to the members of the body. Somehow it does that. And then it takes the waste away. And so you've got the nutrients going down your aortas and the waste going up your veins, and it all works so well the way the Lord designed. But is there another, more appropriate way to describe Jesus than that? All the good things that we receive come at his hand, and he takes the bad away. I tell you, the life is in the blood, and the Bible says Christ is our life. And so there we have it. But here's my question for you. Where does blood come from? The Bible tells us that, the heart describes the heart, what it does, and the heart, certainly in a biological way, it pumps the blood. But the source of where blood comes from is bone marrow. And so therefore, you and I, no matter how small or insignificant we may think that we are, we provide a vital role in the life and health of the body. Don't ever think that your contribution is too small, that it's insignificant and of no value. I'm telling you, every member of the church is important and contributes to the life of the church. But I believe that when it says the marrow, and it provides the blood, it produces the blood, that God's placed something inside of you. He's placed the spirit of your son into our hearts. And I'll tell you, when the spirit of God's son in his people's hearts comes out in the church, I'll tell you, that's a beautiful thing. I'll tell you, that's something that makes the life of the church body so much more precious, so much more valuable. But I'll tell you, having these joints between us, these things that bind us. I believe it says charity is the bond of perfectness. This love that we have from breast to breast. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, and I thought about this, that, you know, this bone in my arm, if it wasn't for that bone, this hand would not have any life or any function. Notice, if you go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us that God, when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, and these gifts were for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, you know, the Son of God, into a perfect man, and that we henceforth be no more children, tossed about to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, speaking the truth of love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now notice verse 16 of Ephesians 4. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Notice that the whole body fitly joined together. You know, everything is the proper fit when the Lord's the one doing the fitting. When the Lord's the one that adds to the church and makes that proper fit, it's fitly joined together. But notice it's compacted. Jerusalem is a city that's compacted together. It's compacted by that which every joint supplies. Now imagine looking at your hand and how important a role that it plays. But your hand, in fact, we only have two of them, and they play a very important role. In my life, I'm going to tell you, my hands feed me. My hands, take care of me. And all different shapes and sizes and different ways. My hands take, but just look at the connections required for your hand to receive that from the body. I mean, it requires joints and it requires these other bones in order to even get to the hand. I'll say when it comes to church, there are people in the church that may not even think that they're doing anything for anybody else, but they're doing a lot for me. I could look at the folks here on union and point you to others who are not with us tonight and the things they say and the things they do and how important and valuable they are to me. And I'll tell you, when we have that which every joint supplies, what a wonderful thing that that is, that the church body functions in that way like a healthy body does. But remember our original text, Psalm 22:14. Notice what it says here. Let's go back to Psalm 22 and see the exact way this is worded. He says, all my bones are out of joint. Now, that sounds like to me, if the bones are pointing towards us, all the bones are out of joint. Just think about all of God's people before the Lord took away our sin. Titus chapter 3 says we were hateful and hating one another. That's bones that are out of joint right there. And that's where we were before Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. All his bones were out of joint. Every one of them. And I'll tell you, bones out of joint are pretty much useless. Bones out of joint are not going to be any help to the body. But here we have our Savior on the cross of Calvary. And here he is hanging on the cross. And they put a crown of thorns on his head. Now, I remember one of the first sermons we heard here on Zoom was by Elder Gary Hall, and his subject was thorns. I'll tell you, this is the way the world crowns our Savior, with a crown of thorns. Thorns originated in when the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve transgressed. When they sin, that's when God cursed the ground and says, thorns and thistles will it produce. Well, I'll tell you, as a result of that curse, we have that curse with us today. And that's the way this world crowns our Lord. I'll tell you, I trust we crown him with glory and honor, but that's the way the world crowns our Lord, with the crown of thorns. Here he is hanging on a cross. All his bones are out of joint. In fact, he says in the 17th verse, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Now notice he says here in the 17th verse, I may tell all my bones. That word tell there means to count. He says, I may tell all my bones. He can count all his bones. Now, I believe in that while he's crucified in his natural body, that he being poured out like water, that he was in a very dehydrated state, we may say, and that you could see all his bones in from that sense. But I believe that you and I may not know the number of God's people, as the sand of the seashore, or the stars in heaven, but he can tell all of them. He can count. He knows the number. In fact, he knows their names. He knows them to such a degree that he knows them by name. If you go with me to Psalm 34, and notice this verse here. You know, there is a sense in which, and this is Psalm 34, verse 20. It says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Aren't you thankful tonight to know that the Lord keeps all his bones? He keeps you. He keeps you in the palm of his hands, and no one can pluck you out. Not one of them is broken. Jesus says he came into this world that all which the Father giveth him, he should lose nothing but raise it up again to the last day. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Well, I tell you, that's a great blessing and joy tonight to know these things and to hear these things. But there are some texts I'd like to notice with you before we close that talk about the bones when they're doing well. You know, it's a great blessing for the bones, your bones to be healthy. You know, the worst kind of cancer you can get is bone cancer. Cancer in your bones. That's not good at all. But when it says here, if we move over to the 35th Psalm, I want you to notice this. This is very, very interesting language. If you don't know what we've already talked about up until this point tonight, I'm not sure you'd understand what he's even referring to here in Psalm 35, verse 10. He says, all my bones shall say. Now, how do bones talk? And why would bones talk? But he says, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. What a wonderful situation. When all his bones shall say, Lord, who's like unto thee? That acknowledge that he's delivered the poor from him that's too strong for him, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. That is good, and that is wonderful when that takes place. Turn to me to the book of Proverbs. I want to notice a few things here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now notice, he gives us instruction in verse 7 and tells us what it will do for us in verse 8. If we're not wise in our own eyes, you know, that's so easy to be. We could think that we have all the knowledge and all the information, have all, you know, this past year and a half, you get around some people, and I'm going to tell you, I've struggled this past year and a half to know what to believe, what's right, what's true. Someone the other day told me about having a Bible. I wish I had a COVID Bible so I knew what was right and what wasn't. But you get around some people, they seem to have all the answers, have it all figured out. Well, I'll tell you. This text tells us, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, marrow, we get back to that. Bone marrow actually does more than just produce blood. If you're cooking some food, and I know I'm not the one that should be talking about cooking right now, but I understand that the flavor is in that bone marrow. That's where the flavor that comes from that food. My wife has this dish she cooks. It's this chicken dish, and she cooks it without bones, and it tastes fine. But her mama will not cook that dish without bones because it tastes better, she said. Well, it may taste better, but I sure get sick of picking out all those bones when I'm trying to eat it. I like the way my wife cooks it, but you know, that's what they tell us, that the flavor comes from the bones and the marrow inside of the bones. That's where the flavor is. And let me just tell you tonight that what makes you the salt of the earth and what makes you such a gracious people is what the Lord has placed inside of you that contributes to the life of the whole body, to the whole church, and that's the Spirit of God that dwells in your heart. That's what makes you so flavorful, so seasoned. That's what makes you make the rest of our lives worth living because we're around you. That's what makes you so precious and special. But what does it take to have that marrow to our bones? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Turn me to Proverbs 15 and notice what it says here in the 15th chapter of Proverbs. It says here in verse 30. Proverbs 15, verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. I'll tell you, there's some things that it'll make you, you know, I really wish that the word fat wasn't such an ugly word that people don't like using it, don't like thinking of themselves this way. You know, used to back in the day that the poor people were skinny and the rich people were fat. Well, that's kind of changed these days, it seems like. Don't know. Well, I'm not going to get into all that, but the word fat, one of the best definitions I ever heard was having more than enough. that's kind of the way I eat. I don't stop when I'm not hungry anymore. I just keep on going. Having more than enough, you understand? Well, I'll tell you, this verse 30 says, a good report maketh the bones fat. You know, I get around some people, and it seems like they love to talk about bad news, things that are wrong, things that are negative. And that'll kind of rub off on you. Next thing you know, you're talking about that stuff. But I was around some people the other day, and I could tell they really didn't want to talk about negative things. And I picked up on that, and we started talking about positive things. We had a great visit. I'll tell you, a good report maketh the bones fat. I'll tell you, there's no better report that you're going to get than the one in the house of God that tells you you have been saved from your sins, you have a home in heaven, and that's what's waiting for you when you leave this world. You're going to depart from this place and be with Christ, which is far better. That's a good report to us tonight, and that makes the bones fat. That's what makes things so much better. Drop on down to the 16th chapter and notice verse 24, and we'll mention this verse in close. He says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. You know what I want tonight? I want all of you to be healthy. Now, I'm not talking about natural health, but I will say that is a, we don't need to take that for granted. Well, you don't realize what a blessing natural health is until you lose it. I think we all could benefit from natural health, and I'm thankful you're healthy enough to be on here tonight. I'm thankful for natural health. But I'll tell you what's more important to me as a minister of the gospel, a member of the Lord's church, is your spiritual health. Your spiritual health, the health of the bones, that's what I'm concerned about tonight. I like the way that the Apostle Paul described his role, I believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says, I am helpers of your joy. That's what I believe my role is as a minister of the gospel, is trying to help your joy. I want you to go through life full of joy. I want you to enjoy this wonderful creation God's made for you. I want you to enjoy the Lord's church that he built and he established and he placed here for you and I. I want you to enjoy the life that God has given you, and he gives it to you richly for you to enjoy. I want you to go through life rejoicing in the Lord for all that he has done for you. I want to be a helper of your joy. I want the bones to be healthy. Just think about how unhealthy the church would be if the bones are not healthy. We'd be in a great fix tonight if the bones were not healthy, if the joints were not strong. You know, the joints, they kind of wear out over time. And I've noticed, you get around people, you like being around them. But the more you get around them, the more you're going to get acquainted with their faults. And that, to me, can make it harder for you to love somebody when you get acquainted with their faults. And sometimes you get too acquainted with them, those joints can really wear out. And not only that, but you can find that a church that has been in existence for a long time versus a church that's only been around a few years has a lot harder time moving according to the Lord's direction than a church that has just been established for a few years. Why is that? Well, we get stuck in our ways. We get into traditions, and it just gets harder, and those joints don't move as well. But I'll tell you, the Lord knows how to strengthen those joints. He knows how to strengthen those bones. The Lord knows how to provide the health to the body that we need. But we've got to take it. We've got to take the medicine, you understand. You know, I know some people, they'll go to the doctor because they're sick. They're given medicine, and they won't take it. Well, that's not going to help them. They're not going to get well if they don't take it. Oh, I tell you, I'm thankful for that medicine. Our son, he had strep throat. They diagnosed on Friday. They prescribed medicine. Well, I tell you, when that medicine kicked in, oh, man, he was good. In just a couple of days, he was fine. And I tell you what, when I had the coronavirus, and I got that antibody infusion, I tell you, I realized good medicine is a great blessing. But I'll tell you, when we come to the spiritual understanding of the child of God, we need that spiritual medicine for the health of the body, the health of the church body, the health of the bones. And what does he say here in Proverbs 16:24? Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. Do you think words make a difference? I grew up with this expression, sticks and stones may break my bones. There you go. But words will never hurt me. I don't believe that saying anymore. I believe pleasant words, he says here in Proverbs 16:24, and I believe the good report that he mentions in Proverbs 15:30. I believe those are important. And hearing the gospel preached in the Lord's house and reading God's word, this is what keeps the bones healthy, and not just healthy, but fat. And oh, what a blessing if the Lord would see fit to keep us in this way. I tell you, I don't want the Lord's bones to be out of joint. I want his bones to be in their right place. Like Gideon's 300 men, every man was standing in his own place. Everyone in their own place, doing what the Lord's called them to do. Healthy, functioning, and making all their movements at the direction of the head, which is Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful church body that would be. I thank you for your good attention tonight. This time we'll